You may remain standing or be seated as you need to for our gospel reading this morning, which comes to us from the gospel according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I am Pastor Abby, and I'm happy to welcome you today to It's Not Fair Sunday. Sometimes our cultural perspective is very different from Jesus' original first century audience, but not today. The idea that people who only work 1 hour get paid the same as people who did the same work for 9 hours provokes cries of, "It's not fair," in the first and the 21st centuries. Now, I think that maybe seventh grade teachers hear "it's not fair" a lot, because one of my main memories of my seventh grade English teacher is Mr. Borges saying, "You don't want life to be fair. You want it to be biased in favor of you." Jesus's version of that might be, "You don't want things to be fair. You want God to be generous in love." When it comes to actual paychecks for work in the 21st century, we are rightly having some robust debates about wages, fairness, equity, livability, sick pay, and a whole bunch of other important things. This parable should not be used to justify injustice, especially when there are wealth and power imbalances. This parable should prompt us to ask, do we want heaven to amplify earth's inequalities? Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "In my Father's house there are many rooms." Do we want people who give more money to the church on earth to get nicer rooms? Should a corrupt politician get a nicer room than Mother Teresa? This parable should also prompt us to ask, how sure do we feel about salvation if it's based on what we have or have not done? How would we know if we'd done enough? Would we know if there were enough rooms to going around, or if we were competing with each other for a limited supply of rooms? The good news about the good and beautiful God Jesus knows is that this good and beautiful God, Jesus' Heavenly Father, is radically generous with love. The creation stories in the book of Genesis are unique in portraying the creation of the world not from battle or death or destruction, but as an outpouring of love and creativity and love and care from the diversity or for the diversity that resulted. Now, in that ancient Near East world of tribal gods, people knew, they knew, just like we know some things today, they knew they had to appease their tribe's God for help and protection against the other tribes and against their gods. So it is radical when God picks Abraham and Sarah and says, I'm making a new nation from you instead of having the bachelor of existing nations. In that worldview, God looks weak for not being able to take over an existing nation or tribe or big city. But what God really is generous. If God had selected an existing nation as the chosen people, there is just no doubt that the powerful people would have taken credit for it, for earning God's favor with how good they were. But God instead chooses to create a nation to generously love upon, not because they earned it, but because God loves. And furthermore, God tells Israel, you are blessed to be a blessing to the whole world. Share my favor is a radically generous thing for a God to say. And when Jesus came along, he clarified by his words and actions that this good and beautiful God is not fair, but rather generous with love for anybody and everybody. Today, we are celebrating World Communion Sunday as a sign of God's generosity to the whole world. This special Sunday, this holiday, was born in the Depression between the World Wars. It was first celebrated by a Presbyterian pastor, Reverend Dr. Hugh Thompson Kerr, in 1933. And then it was adopted by our predecessor denominations and the National Council of Churches predecessor in 1940. Now, the general idea of World Communion Sunday is that our unity in Christ is stronger than all of our differences, whether those are theological or national or denominational. Love is stronger than hate. Most churches celebrate communion in some way, and so they said, let's have a Sunday when all Christians make sure they celebrate communion on the same day as a sign that we are together in God's love. Generally, the idea is, like Paul says, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And yet, specifically, think about that time period. In 1933, it was becoming clear that World War I was not the great war to end all wars, as they had hoped. It was becoming clear that the forces for World War II were growing. And by 1940, when this was adopted on a widespread basis, another devastating world war was underway. And that is when Christians chose to declare with World Communion Sunday that our unity in Christ matters more than our differences, that God's generous love is for the whole world, for everybody. What does it mean to declare that in 2023? That God's generous love is not only big enough for, but is for the whole world. I feel acutely the need for World Communion Sunday, for that declaration that God's love is bigger than all else, that Jesus calls us together as his siblings, for the hope for unity, for the joy in God's generous love. That is the testimony that I want to give to the world that is so scared and that is looking for so many ways to divide and be set apart. So today, several of us, the choir and Carl and Don and the tech staff, several of us worked together on a special communion liturgy. So some pieces of it will be exactly what you remember as our normal communion liturgy, and other pieces will look different. The United Methodist Church and its predecessors have long been worldwide. Our main hymnal and our mini hymnals include music from cultures all around the world. And so parts of our normal, traditional, usual communion liturgy have been swapped out for some of those songs where the songs convey the same meaning as what we usually say. So you're going to see on the slides a song title, a composer, a country or cultural information, and singing instructions before each song. Now, you might love this, or you might think, this is not my favorite. We are a big enough church that oftentimes we are doing something that has somebody saying, this is not my favorite. But that thing that's not somebody's favorite is somebody else's favorite. And so wherever you find yourself from love to, we invite you to experience these songs as a sign of God's generosity of love for the whole world, which gets demonstrated by manifesting the same love, but sometimes in different ways in each culture. You do not have to sing any of it if new songs or different languages feel overwhelming. Just listen, take it in. Thank you, choir, for your work to be ready for this. So the choir and Carl and I will be ready to introduce the songs to you. Sometimes we're going to sing it in the original language as well as in English. And again, the generosity of God's love is big enough to hold us together, whether we sing it or we don't, whether we're singing in English or another language. Because let's think about it, we don't want God's love to depend on which language we speak, amen? And so, by celebrating how the gospel can show up in any country, in any language, we are going to rejoice in the generosity of God's love that includes us and everyone as we come to the communion table. And we're going to begin with Let Us Break Bread Together, which is from the Black spiritual tradition.
And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take,
eat this bread, drink this cup, come to me and
when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said,
"Eat this bread, drink this cup, come to me and never be in me and you will not thirst."
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesu. Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesu. He has conquered death, he has conquered death, Jesu. He has conquered death, he has conquered death, Jesu. All the world is his. All the world is his, Jesu. All the world is his. All the world is his, Jesu.
your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
Holy Spirit, come to us. Holy Spirit, come to us.
Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Sing amen. Amen.
Amen. We praise your name, O God.
Sing amen.
Amen. Bow low. Amen. Bow low. Amen. We praise your name, O God.
Masithi.
Amen. Siaku do me sa.
Masithi.
Amen. Siaku do me sa.
Masithi.
Amen. Bow low. Amen. Bow low.
Sing amen.
Amen. Siaku du misa.
Sing amen.
Amen. Siaku du misa.
Sing amen.
Amen. Bawo.
Amen. Bawo.
Amen. Siaku du misa.
Praise your name, O
God. And now with the confidence we have as children of God, let us pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.